All right, folks, welcome into the first post-draft edition of the Pro Football Weekly podcast. We've got Arthur Arkish on the other line. I'm Eric at home here in the PFW laboratory as we kind of take a look back at the draft. And I thought, Arthur, a good way to do it might be to kind of play around with some of these rookie prop bets. And I'm looking specifically here at a list from betdsi.com. They came up with some fun numbers on some of the, especially the quarterbacks, but also some other rookies as well. And kind of deciding how much these guys are going to play and what they're going to do this season. So I guess let's jump right into it, Arthur. One of the first ones takes a look at the entire quarterback position. Of course, we know it was a really interesting year at that position in the draft. We had five go in the first round, four go in the top 10. And so, Arthur, the first prop bet, and we'll explain the betting numbers to you here and make sure you're understanding everything we throw at you. It's the total number of rookie quarterbacks to start week one of the 2018 regular season. If all these teams drafted quarterbacks high, they're going to play them at some point. We don't know when. So the over-under is 1.5. And so anybody who doesn't understand, you know, the betting numbers and all that, what they're saying is if you want to say that more than two or more rookies are going to start at quarterback in week one, you bet the over. You think it's going to be one or zero, you bet the under. So that's kind of where we're sitting right now. And the under 1.5 is considered the favorite, kind of a big favorite at this point. Where do you stand on this, on Baker Mayfield, Josh Rosen, Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, and the rest of that crew?
Yeah, and Lamar Jackson, of course, the final first-rounder, five in all, went in the first 32 picks. And, Eric, I'm going to kind of go out there on a limb and say the over. You know, I think that mostly because I don't trust one quarterback to stay healthy. That's the one out in Arizona.
Yep.
Not sure how quickly Sam Bradford may kind of pull a hammy or have some knee issues or whatever it is. And we know that the guy who will kind of be breathing down his back in Josh Rosen is arguably the most pro-ready of the bunch. So I will say that Josh Rosen is going to be the week one starter in Arizona. And I'm also going to say, despite what Hugh Jackson has said, as he's kind of morphed into this year's version of John Fox, I just don't see any way that Tyrod Taylor is able to hold off Baker Mayfield. I think there's a clear gap in quarterbacking talent and which guy is going to give them the best chance. And I think that it is going to be the Heisman who gives them the best chance come week one. John Dorsey and Hugh Jackson will realize that, and we'll see the Baker Mayfield era start very quickly. What do you think, Eric, about those two and then the other three that I didn't really hit on?
Well, I'm just stunned that you called Hugh Jackson a liar here, and I'm just appalled, and I really feel like ending this podcast right now. But no, I think you have it right. The question I would say is, where does Josh Allen fit in? How quickly do they feel like the Buffalo Bills can just sort of throw him in there if he's just clearly better than A.J. McCarron? That would be the other factor. You know, as quickly as I think Lamar Jackson could integrate his way into the lineup, I don't think he's beating out Joe Flacco week one.
Right.
It's just hard for me to kind of grasp. And yeah, I think Sam Bradford will get a shot, of course, because they paid him all that money. But like you said, the health factor can't be ignored there. So I'm with you on Cleveland. I think there's a good chance that happens. What a story it would be if you had two very expensive quarterbacks on the bench in Bradford and Tyrod Taylor, who, you know, other teams, frankly, they weren't, you know, convinced were worth that kind of money. So that obviously would kind of lead to an interesting story this season, how the rookies outplay the veterans. And so this kind of folds into our next prop bet, which is the rookie quarterback to start first during the 2018 regular season. So, you know, they're saying basically which game number. So obviously bye weeks don't factor in here. And let's, you know, basically third game, fourth game, first game, whatever. The favorite on the list is Josh Allen. And that's really interesting. He's plus 150, meaning if you bet $100, you get $150 in return. Baker Mayfield is second at plus 250, followed by Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold in fourth, and Lamar Jackson fifth. Now you could bet on every other rookie quarterback and not get very good odds on that, plus 310 on that. So it sounds to me like you would put your money on Mayfield and Rosen over Allen and hope for a little bit more return on your investment there.
Yeah, no question about it, Eric. I think the big difference here, let's be very clear, do I think that A.J. McCarron is more talented than Josh Allen? No, of course I don't. But I think A.J. McCarron is light years ahead in terms of preparation, level of preparation over Josh Allen. And I just think that the Bills brass is too smart, although who knows, looking at what they gave up to get Allen. But I just think that they're going to kill him if they rush him in there. And our guy Greg Gabriel wrote on that today. Our listeners can go check it out at ProFootballWeekly.com. Gabriel making the case for patience is really the only route that this Bills regime can go after kind of putting their eggs in the Allen basket. So, but when it comes to, Mayfield, Eric, I think it's a combination of talent and just how ready he is. I think he can read defenses as well, if not better, than Tyrod Taylor right now. And that team, I made the mistake of saying that they were maybe ahead of where people thought last year. And look, I'm going to double down on it. I think Cleveland is ready to at least be competitive. Obviously, that backfired just a tad last year in an 0-16 season. But I think that they will realize that and will go with Baker Mayfield. I'll throw it back to you, obviously, and the guy we got to mention in here at some point, Sam Darnold, the only guy who hasn't come into the conversation just yet.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously with Josh McCown there and maybe Teddy Bridgewater, depending on his health, he's got a little bit more of a leap there. And the reports from Jets minicamp, because, you know, of course, Jets beat writers are going to overreact to a minicamp. But, yeah, I mean, Darnold maybe get off to a little bit of a slow start. So these things happen. I mean, you and I were at the training camp practice when the Bears went full pads, and Mitch Trubisky didn't look like he'd ever taken a snap from center before, you know, and they got it cleared up in, what, 8 minutes, so it wasn't a big deal. But, and yeah, just one more reflection, too, on all these rookie quarterbacks, but especially Allen in Buffalo, Mayfield in Cleveland, and to a degree Rosen in Arizona. They're all undergoing big offensive line changes, too. I mean, you know, Cordy Glenn, left tackle, traded. Eric Wood retired. You had, you know, Richie Incognito kind of flirting with retirement, I think in a joking way online. But still, I mean, you know, a guy who's been in the league a long time could be, you know, due for an injury or something along the way. So shifting in Buffalo, shifting in Arizona, they trade Jared Bell here. You know, they've had injuries at that spot as well. They drafted a center. We don't know if there's going to be a rookie at that position as well. You know, and Cleveland, Joe Thomas. I mean, so that kind of compounds things a little bit too. You talk about patience, there's also maybe a self-preservation element to it as well, I would think.
That is an absolutely great point that I had not mentioned. And when you look, frankly, at all five of these first-round quarterbacks, you could certainly pick nits with each one of their offensive lines. So it's a great call. And then, of course, the historically fragile Sam Bradford and Josh McCown penciled in as the week one starter. So, yes, there is some volatility built into this thing as well, no doubt about it. And, Eric, as we continue to kind of look down the line here, yep. Rookie quarterback, which one could be benched first during the 2018-19 regular season? I don't see an option for the rookie quarterback's coach who could be benched or sacked first, but I still think that my answer is going to go in Cleveland if we look at what happened last year with Hugh Jackson and DeShone Kizer. What about you?
Oh, that's a great point. I hadn't thought about it through that lens, but yeah, absolutely. The answer no is a favorite, but not a big one. -150, right, meaning you have to bet $150 to earn $100. So, again, for people who aren't familiar with some of these, you know, betting terms, it's just kind of a fun way to look at it. I would say that's probably it. You think about maybe a coach who's under fire. That certainly defines Hugh Jackson, Mr. 1-31. You think about, you know, somebody who's going to thrust a rookie in there early and then regret it at some point. So, boy, maybe Buffalo, too. Obviously, the way they kind of handled the Tyrod Taylor thing last year, right, putting right. Nathan Peterman in well before he was, you know, we're not even talking about Nathan Peterman now. And he started a crucial road game against another AFC playoff hopeful in the Chargers. So it was a weird situation there.
How'd that go again, Eric? Did that turn out well for the Bills, or I don't remember?
626 from off the top of my head. Yeah.
Oh, five. Yeah. who could have seen that coming, though, with Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram, him getting thrown into the deep end there? That was never predictable.
What a stunning result. Yeah, exactly. So obviously there's some questions there about, you have a better chance of getting benched the sooner you get into the lineup. That would probably factor into what you said. Now, going down some of the individual quarterbacks. We kind of talked here a little about Mayfield. We've talked about Josh Allen. We talked about Rosen some. Individually, those guys are very likely to start games. The two who are probably less likely, and I think you know they both have a shot here, but Sam Darnold and Lamar Jackson, will they start any game during the regular season? Now, let's start with Darnold. Look, he was the third pick in the draft. You bet yes, you've got to bet a lot of money to win money. You bet no, you're going to get pretty good return if that happens. Is there a chance that Sam Darnold doesn't start a game this season? Not, obviously, injury is one possibility, but what would be the path to Sam Darnold not starting a single game this season in your mind? How would that happen?
Well, it would simply, Eric, be the Christian Hackenberg approach, right?
Of course.
Because yeah. the former 51st overall pick, and we haven't seen him on a field on Sundays in two seasons, and that is almost defies logic for a lot of Jets fans, obviously, in a lost year last year, how he couldn't get on the field. But it does show us, I think, that that staff, maybe that GM-coach combo with Maccagnan and Bowles, is committed to sort of insulating or protecting a rookie quarterback. And let's not forget, of course, Teddy Bridgewater in the mix there as well. So not sure what your level of confidence in Teddy Bridgewater's knees are and how that kind of pecking order would go about if and when Josh McCown does get hurt. But certainly it does seem like there is at least a path toward that. And then in Baltimore as well, it was Joe Flacco who was dealing with the back issues last year. Yes, he has been historically very durable, but he's also been, frankly, very bad of late. And when you factor in, of course, that injury as well, some offensive line changes there too. You know, you could see a scenario both ways, I think, with Lamar Jackson, whether he sits or starts.
Yeah, I think there are paths. See, yeah, this is the more interesting bet to me. Will Lamar Jackson start any game this season? You bet yes, you get $200 on a $100 bet. That's a good return. You bet no, you have to bet $240 to win $100. So clearly the big favorite here is no. The over-under on starts for his season is 0.5. So you can see which way the bettors think it's going to go. They think Joe Flacco, who's been a rock, who's been in the lineup forever pretty much since he and Harbaugh came together, is going to hold the guy off, and that if Lamar Jackson plays, it's going to be in this sort of, you know, part, you know, role where they bring him on the field here for a series or a play there or whatever, and exploit his athleticism. But to me, there are several paths to him getting on the field in a starting role, which is, okay, Flacco, you know, gets hurt. He had the back injury last year. He had to sort of fight through, so his body's maybe letting him down a little bit. He gets benched for ineffective play. That's possible. This has been one of the more boring and inefficient offenses the last 3 years, really. Certainly two of the last three. And then the other factor would be just that week 17 start that, you know, either Baltimore is out of contention and they want to give the kid a chance, either, you know, week 16, 17, something like that. Or there's the possibility that they're really good and that they have something clinched by that point, and they can start Lamar Jackson, keep Flacco fresh for the playoffs. So to me, there are there's a lot of paths to get to that one start this season. I would be betting absolutely yes in this case.
Are you surprised, Eric, that Vegas didn't want to kind of cover their bases a little bit more with the loophole you mentioned at the top? What about the possibility that Baltimore rolls out in Wildcat to start one game and theoretically Lamar Jackson is the starter for that week? It doesn't seem like Vegas is protecting itself for that possibility here.
And maybe you can help me on this one. There was a game a couple years ago. Rex Ryan was the coach of the Bills. It was week one. And I think they opened with Matt Cassel under center and Tyrod at wideout. Do you remember that play? It was the first play of the game. Does that ring a bell?
I got to be honest. Any Matt Cassel time on the field over the past 3 years, Eric, I have made it a point to erase from my memory. It's been burned in, and I've made it a point to make sure it's removed. So I don't remember that game specifically, unfortunately.
And unfortunately, it's stuck in my brain a little bit. The details. But it was something about how They had Tyrod come out of the huddle, but oh, by the way, here's this big, tall, white quarterback also out there too. And you go, oh, wait. And they came out in a trick formation. So technically, Tyrod did not get the start at quarterback in it. Like, he had some sort of consecutive game streak or something like that. I don't know. And or something in his contract for the number of starts. I forget what the controversy was, but Castle was under center, and so he was technically the starting quarterback. So what a hoot that would be if on the first play of the season you had Joe Flacco lined up as a wingback or a tight end or something, and Lamar at center. So that would be pretty fun. All right, how about this? This is a good one.
Most passing yards for rookie quarterback during the 2018 season. The favorite is Mayfield. The next on the list would be Allen, followed by Rosen and Darnold. You bet Darnold, you're going to have to, you know, hope and pray a little bit, but you get a good return, $500 on a $100 bet. So Mayfield, 125. Allen, you get 185 on a $100 bet. Josh Rosen, 300. I'm tempted to pound the Rosen bet. I mean, I understand Mayfield and Allen might get the more opportunities, but I don't know, for $300 on $100, that tempts me a little bit. What about you?
Yeah, I could see it. I'm not much of a gambler, so I'm really just sticking more to what I think is going to happen football wise. But I like that you're kind of filling in the blanks here in that regard. So I get that part of it with Rosen, and certainly with, you know, David Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, I suppose there's opportunities to rack up some yardage. But I just go back to Cleveland, Eric, and I look at some of the weapons that Mayfield's going to have that are clearly lacking in both Arizona and Buffalo. And maybe it's my risk aversion here, but I know I keep pounding the table for Mayfield, and I feel like I have to do it again here when you got Gordon and Coleman, and of course, Jarvis Landry, in addition to maybe the best path to playing time as well.
Yeah, David Njoku. And so the next bet is very similar, most passing touchdowns. I guess if you wanted to sit there and drill down on red zone weapons and things like that, I probably wouldn't bet Josh Allen, only because, boy, he didn't throw for a lot of touchdowns last year. But on top of that, you've got Shady McCoy as your running back. You know, you have probably fewer exciting weapons who you could envision. I mean, Zay Jones dropped every pass who went to him last year. You know, I mean, things like that. And, you know, Charles Clay's great, but he's more of a between the 20s kind of tight end. So, yeah, if it was most passing touchdowns, I'd probably be more apt to bet Mayfield, Rosen, and Darnold running fourth. Okay, let's switch a little bit here and talk about the running backs. We'll get some other rookies involved here. Saquon Barkley, will he rush for 1,000 yards this season? You bet $100 to win, 130 on yes, and no is even odds. So, I mean, Saquon Barkley, number two pick in the draft, on the one hand, you're saying, boy, he better rush for 1,000 or they're going to look really bad. On the other, this could be a guy who gets 1,700 yards from scrimmage, both receiving and rushing total. That would be pretty good, too. So what are your thoughts? I mean, is he going to be that 1,000-yard rusher this season? I lean towards yes, but I'm curious to hear your answer.
Yeah, I also lean toward yes. I did just happen to edit our Giants team preview for the Pro Football Weekly magazine that's going to be deadlining here pretty soon. So I know off the top of my head that the Giants haven't had a 1,000-yard rusher, I believe, since Ahmad Bradshaw, and I think it was 2011. And I do think Saquon Barkley a very strong bet to be that next guy, not only, as you said, because – whenever you see a team just fully go all in on a guy, you have a pretty good indication of what their vision is, what their commitment level is to that guy. So to me, it seems, yeah, pretty cut and dry that Barkley is going to get a ton of touches. You're right. It might get spread out across receiving, returns, and rushing. But either way, I think they've at least, you know, Will Hernandez is going to be blocking in front of him. I just think Pat Shurmur recognizes the importance of running the football more than Ben McAdoo did. I think Barkley is going to have a ton of chances. What about you?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like last year, and when you watched Barkley, there were some games where he was extremely hot, where he would have those 150 and more yard performances, and then others where he just wasn't the same guy. And my draft profile, I don't remember the exact stats, but there were five games last year for Penn State in which he averaged about 8 yards a carry, and the other seven or eight games, he was averaging below 4 yards a carry. So there is a hot and cold nature. You know, he could come out week one against the Jaguars and run for 32 yards, the tabloids would go nuts. We all know that, you know, against the Cowboys, the Texans, the Saints, whoever else, he could do just fine. So, yeah, there is going to be a hot and cold nature to his game, I believe. But he will have some games where he catches 8 passes for 97 yards and, right, and does it that way. But, yeah, I still think he can get, if he plays every game, he's been an iron horse, you know, a workhorse.
Yep.
66 yards a game. I think he can do that. I think that's a fair number. That's not a wide, especially rookie running backs. That's a position where you can step in and do well right away, I think.
No doubt. Hey, Eric, we don't have a prop here on all-purpose yards, but I have to ask you, just because we're talking Barkley and the Giants, football guy Dave Gettleman wasn't worried about spending the second overall pick on a running back. Would he worry about letting that second overall pick, who happens to be a running back, also be the primary returner? Do you have any idea how that part of it will shake out? Because obviously it was such a huge part of what Barkley did at Penn State.
Absolutely. That's a great question, too. And it's funny because I actually sat there and watched a lot of what Pat Shurmur and Gettleman and some of those guys said after making the pick, because a lot of people had those same questions. Why, you know, is there a positional value in your mind that this quarterback is more important? And I don't recall anybody asking him whether he was going to be in that capacity. Now, Adrian Peterson, when he was a rookie, you remember that game against the Bears in Chicago.
Of course.
Oh, I mean, it was, you know, thank God he was returning kicks if you're a Vikings fan. So I think there is going to be an element of that. I don't think he'll be their primary kick returner, but I think you'll have to use him at least once or twice a game to do that. I mean, that's just
– he's too special in that role. He's a home run hitter, I think. Do that to start his career and see where it goes.
Yeah, as long as you're picking your spots. I mean, it's kind of the old Antonio Brown conundrum, right? He's obviously a great punt returner, but he's also the most valuable wideout in the league. So I thought it was ludicrous to spend the second overall pick on the running back, and I also think it would be crazy to expose him any more than you have to. So the other side of it, of course, is if you're not maximizing your player's abilities. So I get both sides of it, but they're saying it's the most dangerous play in the game. It could be outlawed altogether here soon. So it's going to be very, very kind of slippery slope, or very, you know, treading lightly, if you will, with the way they handle Barkley in that regard.
Okay, Arthur, you mentioned a few minutes ago, we were talking about our preview magazine we were putting to bed pretty soon, doing the same shortly thereafter with our fantasy magazine. We just had our fantasy roundtable draft with members of the PFW staff, and it was really interesting to me to see the rookie running backs. Now, obviously, in years past, rookie running backs have been popular fantasy selections. You love to see where they go in drafts, especially when you do a draft in May, and kind of see, you know, what the perception is. And this next prop bet kind of folds into that a little bit. Most rushing yards for a rookie running back during the 2018 season. Barkley is the favorite. He's minus 110. Got to bet $110 to earn 100 back. Next on that list is Rashad Penny, followed by Sony Michel. And correct me if I'm wrong, I don't believe there were too many other running backs in our fantasy draft that were taken that high, you know, in the same neighborhood as those three guys. There may have been some that I missed, but those were kind of the guys. I mean, Nick Chubb, I think, was drafted. Ronald Jones has to be in that discussion too. But
guys, yeah.
So the list we have here only includes those first three, which is Barkley, Penny, and Michelle. I mean,
obviously, feel free to include the other guys we just mentioned. Do you have a favorite? Meaning, could Darius Geis steal that title, or could somebody else step in and be your rookie rushing leader?
Yeah, you know, obviously, Eric, this is a special rookie class, and there are a lot of good candidates. A couple aren't listed here that I would throw in, and Royce Freeman in Denver, who I think has a chance to earn a workhorse role there early. And then Kerryon Johnson is interesting as well, as Detroit commits to that run game of that offensive line. But you may worry a little bit more about him with Theo Riddick and LeGarrette Blount. So, I guess Rashad Penny, although, you know, the offensive line isn't going to do him any favors, and you've got Chris Carson there as well. But just in terms of having a chance to actually make some money here, I guess Rashad Penny would be my vote. We all know as fantasy players what the Bill Belichick backfield, dilemma is year in and year out. And although they spent whatever it was, a 31st overall pick on Sony Michel, it's not like Rex Burkhead and James White are just going to disappear from the equation. Same thing in Washington. I love Darius Geis. I love the landing spot. I think that's a really talented offensive line. But a couple concerns there, Eric. Jay Gruden never met a forward pass he didn't love to call. And obviously you got Chris Thompson there. And if everything goes well with his rehab, he is going to be very, very much in the mix on passing downs.
Yeah, to me, the Sony Michel is a sucker bet. I mean, we would never, in a million years, you know,
there just isn't really a path for him to lead the NFL in rookie rushing yards. I just can't see it. It would be basically saying that Sony Michel is going to be 2004 Corey Dillon. I mean, I just, you know, they haven't had a back, I don't think, and maybe Blunt 1 year, maybe Stephen Ridley 1 year, who's been in the top 10 or 11 in the league in rushing yards. Maybe I'm wrong. So again, who knows? But it's just hard for me to imagine that those other guys are going to get ignored. And so I agree with you 100%. I will say this. Chris Thompson, of course, is coming back from an Achilles injury as well, or a broken leg, excuse me. But
yep.
But Geis, I could see being that first and second down guy. And I could see that being a role where he, you know, volumes his way up to 1,200 yards rushing. You know, and Samaje Perine's there, so you got to think about that as well. But Perine didn't. He was one of my disappointments last year. I really loved him in college, and the fumbles, the lack of explosive plays, lack of receiving ability. He's starting to look more and more like a number three back in my mind than he did coming into the league. So I could see guys being a possibility. I don't see Nick Chubb or, I don't know, even Kerryon Johnson or somebody like that. Ronald Jones, maybe. But, yeah, that's kind of how I sort of handicap that list.
Ronald Jones might be interesting because they just spent big on Ryan Jensen. It puts Ali Marpet back into the guard spot. So maybe that offensive line has kind of improved in a couple spots and gives him a chance. It's not like they're, you know, I don't think he's going to have to worry about someone like a Peyton Barber or a Jaquizz Rodgers, you know, fine players who have maximized their pedigree or whatever. But there's a reason they drafted Jones where they did there. So, yeah, that's going to be a fun one to watch. And, you know, I love the dudes. I mean, Nick Chubb, I love his game, but they gave Carlos Hyde a good chunk of change, and he's coming off a pretty productive season too. So a lot of moving parts with this bet in particular, I think.
All right, let's switch to wide receiver. And there's only two listed here, and I think we could probably expand the list a little bit. This is most receiving yards during the 2018 regular season. Again, this is Bet DSI. Gave us the handicapping numbers on these. So DJ Moore is the favorite. First receiver taken. Is that right? First receiver taken?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
First receiver taken. Yeah, I had to think about that. I think Ridley went two spots later. So Moore is your favorite. He's minus 140. You got to bet $100 to win 140. Calvin Ridley plus 110. You get a nice little $10 bump if you bet $100 on him to win it. Obviously, we could throw, you know, Christian Kirk, Cortland Sutton, I suppose DJ Chark, Michael Gallup. There's probably a few others on the list. Antonio Callaway, I guess, if he stays out of trouble, whoever. But
yeah,
they're kind of the big names there. Anthony Miller in Chicago, I suppose, could be on that list as well. But yeah, they're kind of setting DJ Moore as the favorite. I'll say it that way. Would you take DJ Moore? Or would you take the field? Would you take any other receiver among the rookies?
Yeah, I like the field on this one, and not because I don't love Moore's game. I really do, but you've got a couple target hogs there already. Of course, in Greg Olsen, you got Christian McCaffrey to consider. Devin Funchess coming off his breakout year. So that's going to be a little bit crowded, I think. And, you know, with Calvin Ridley, it's a perfect landing spot. And I think he is going to produce. But Julio Jones is going to see a ton of footballs there as well. So I like the field and two in particular, Eric. And then I'll throw it back to you. One you mentioned in Michael Gallup, who I just – Allen Hurns is fine, but he's not a number one, and he hasn't been able to stay on the field. Michael Gallup is going to get just a ton of opportunities to slide in here quickly and become a guy for them real fast. And then the other one, and maybe it's because I'm putting too much stock in the whole Kyle Shanahan, Jimmy Garoppolo dynamic, but I think Dante Pettis too, someone to think about here when you look at what else is around him, and when you look at the fact that they traded up in round two for Pettis, that's always a good sign that they're looking to get guys involved and they have a plan for him early on.
Yeah, that had to make the Arizona Cardinals a bit nervous there because they picked, I think, a few spots after that. They love Christian Kirk. You know, he's got a lot of ties to the organization. I think he's going to be a perfect weapon for Josh Rosen. So to see their division rivals move up ahead of them in the draft probably had to make them a little nervous.
Right.
And it's very interesting. Pettis to San Francisco in what should be a more wide-open scheme, you know. And then you've got Kirk in Arizona where he can be kind of the running mate to Larry Fitzgerald, and then – we'll see if he's got another year in him or if he's going to call it quits after the season and maybe put him to number one. So, yeah, interesting debate. I mean, Ridley, to me, it fits such a perfect role. I mean, Mohamed Sanu's great. He's great at what he does. But I think you can find a perfect role for Ridley The other thing that struck me, too, watching him was he's so creative in the red zone. He's so clever in tight spaces that you wouldn't think for a guy who's kind of a lean build, didn't put up the craziest testing numbers as far as short area quickness and all that and long speed, but he was so good at getting defenders moving one way and he's going the other. It was a very good red zone weapon, too, so I think he's going to have a role on that team. I can't wait to see what they do.
Of course, and there's a little familiarity there, obviously, already with not only his former Alabama standout in Julio, but Steve Sarkisian, who knows Ridley well. So that was a great pick for them, I think, and should probably yield some nice early returns. Eric, just a couple minutes left on the Pro Football Weekly podcast, and I should remind everyone to check us out on iTunes. Make sure you're subscribed to all of our podcasts while you're over there. We really appreciate it. We also want to remind everyone, if you haven't already voted for your team for the ages, we are building the best roster of the modern era, and we're going to send someone to the Super Bowl. I'm not supposed to say that. We're going to send someone to the big game in Atlanta next February. There's only about a week and a half left to vote, so make sure you get over to profootballweekly.com and do that. And Eric, I think we should have fun with one that's not listed here. What about defensive rookie of the year? Again, we only got a couple minutes left. We're starting to have some minor technical difficulties, so we appreciate our listeners bearing with us. But your thoughts on a defensive rookie of the year candidate, anyone that jumps out at you?
Hey, Bradley Chubb, obviously, just because the sacks tend to get a lot of rookie of the year votes, that sort of thing. I could see, you know, Roquan Smith having 3.5 sacks, 2 interceptions, 3 fumble recoveries or whatever, and then 100 tackles and him being on that list.
Sure.
If Marcus Davenport does something big, given the amount they paid up for him, I could see him being a possibility. If you're a defensive back, I think you have to be a safety. I don't know why I say that, but I feel like it takes people a year to catch on to how good a coverage guy is. So I would probably say Minka, Derwin James. That would be some of the popular choices. What about you?
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, but I would say, obviously, last year, Marshon Lattimore, the exception to that rule, took home Defensive Rookie of the Year honors. I'm not predicting Denzel Ward, his teammate at OSU, is going to do the same thing. But last year was also an unusual year with guys like Tre'Davious White, too. There was some exceptional rookie cornerback play. But I did have one of those safeties in my mind, in the back of my head, Derwin James. I love the fit so much. I thought he was maybe the best value in the entire draft. And when you put him in a secondary with other elite playmakers in Casey Hayward, and it looks like Desmond King eventually might be in that category sooner than later as well. And when you've got guys in front of him like Bosa and Ingram, it does seem like a perfect storm for Derwin James to come in and produce very quickly.
I'm glad you brought the defensive guys along. We can't do all fantasy football numbers. offensive quarterbacks specifically. So yeah, I think those are all very fine choices. Derwin James could end up, like you said, in a perfect situation there in, I almost said San Diego, but in LA with the Chargers. So, Arthur, I think that about wraps it up. I know we had a lot of stuff going on in the NFL for a May week. We had the talk about Mason Rudolph and Ben Roethlisberger. That whole drama doesn't feel like we need to go too deep on that, and some other issues around the NFL, like Matt Ryan's contract and what it means for Aaron Rodgers. Any parting thoughts here as we head into a little bit of a slow time in the NFL? Any thoughts on what the next big story might be besides those we just mentioned?
Well, I will. We went back and forth, Eric, on all the Patriots drama and what's going on with Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski and so on and so forth. And I guess I'll just say this. I'm pretty sure Tom Brady's playing in 2018, but Tom Brady still hasn't shown up for work. And although it's voluntary, you normally have to kind of, you know, hold his feet to the fire not to be there. So is there any panic yet in Foxborough for Patriots fans? Or is Brady just trying to exercise all the leverage he has? It just, I don't know. It's getting a little weirder as we get here to the middle of May and still no signs of Tom Brady.
Well, if we're talking betting, we should place a bet on the Patriots, you know, under 8 wins and just see what would happen if Brady didn't show up. Our checks would be pretty fat, I think. But yeah, I mean, obviously this is a part of the program where he set the tone. He was in, first one in, last guy out, all that stuff.
Two words, Eric. Danny Etling.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine? I mean, yeah, right. Well,
it's almost the Danny Etling era. That's all I got on that one.
You said Matt Castle earlier, and you had fatigue on him. I think Danny Etling fatigue would set in a lot sooner than Castle's 13 years. All right, thanks for listening very much here to the Pro Football Weekly podcast. Arthur Arkish, I am Eric Edholm. We want to thank Dan Mott, our terrific producer, and all the folks at PFW help us put this show together. So keep checking us out. We will have plenty of good stuff coming up in the weeks, the dark weeks ahead as we wait for football just around the corner. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.